Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time for the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you did get a new one up there yesterday. If you haven't been over there, check it out. But you should swing by there just to see what's going on anyways. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, take yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So I have to quickly thank AT&T, Dan, for our unexpected day off yesterday. I wasn't expecting them to give me time off, but they were nice enough, so I appreciate that. And I don't even work there. So, but all right, well, you know, quick, Dan, I'll run through what we got going on so far today. Right now we have the Mariners and the Twins tied at the top of the seventh. The White Sox are leading the Tigers 6-3. That game's also in the top of the seventh. The Rangers are ahead of the Athletics. I almost said the Athletes. That was wonderful. The Athletics 4-3 in the top of the ninth. Also in the top of the ninth, the Rockies are ahead of the Padres 3-0. The finals so far from today, the Mets, the Nationals 8-2. Jacob DeGrom got the win. Steven Strasburg took the loss. In 12 innings, the Red Sox beat the Rays 3-2. Brian Pointer got the win, and Andrew Kitteridge took the loss, Dan, if you were using either of those two guys today in one of our fantasy leagues. And the other final had the Phillies beating the Marlins 5-0. Nick Pivetta got the win, and Caleb Smith took the loss. We got four games left to get started yet. Hopefully they will all be played. Like Dan mentioned, we know they'll play this one because they have a dome. The Cubs are in Milwaukee. John Lester against Brett Sutter. The Orioles are taking on the Yankees. That game's in New York, so you never know. We got Andrew Kashner against Masahiro Tanaka. The Reds are in Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. It's Homer Bailey against Stephen Brault. And then the Diamondbacks are in St. Louis to play the Cardinals. It's Robbie Ray against Adam Wainwright, who is coming off the disabled list to make the start. So there you go. You're all caught up on what's going on. Oh. So you were excited about all the stuff that's going on?
Like what? Oh, Tony keeps hitting home runs.
Yes, you were talking about that earlier. I figured you wanted to go that route. I don't know. You didn't draft him either, did you?
No, I mean I thought the Ohtani the pitcher would have been the one to go after. I wasn't sure about the batting, especially when he had like a 0.5 or 1.2 batting average in spring training.
So yeah, I know he was terrible, in spring training, both as a hitter and a pitcher. So it's not like, there was anything to really build a case for drafting him. And remember, the big thing was a lot of people thought he should go to the minors.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, was his pitching debut that great?
That's what I was going to ask you because that I actually missed out on. I think he gave up, two runs, but then again, I might be confusing him for someone else. So I didn't really tune in to see his debut as pitching, but I definitely saw his three-hit day to open the season for his DH spot. And, you know, with his first one being a home run, and then two very solid hits, he seems to come from, and this is why I thought maybe you would appreciate his style of batting maybe a little bit more, because he's, while he hit a home run, the next two at-bats were not slugfest. You know, he looked to put that ball in the play and use the entire field, so to speak, to actually, you know, get on base and be a run producer for his team, as opposed to, you know, striking out on 3 to 5 pitches because he's swinging for the fences.
Yeah, well, here, he went 6 innings in his start, 3 hits, gave up 3 runs. They were all earned. He did give up a homer. Walked 1 and struck out 6. Do they have, I know sometimes they have a pitch total here. No, I guess not. So, yeah, it was a
decent number.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid outing. Obviously he kept his team in the game because he did get the win. So that's that's a big plus. But yeah, as a hitter, he's really been much more impressive. He's 6 for 14. Yeah, you mentioned he's got the 2 home runs. He's driven in 5, and he's only struck out 3 times. So he should be due to pitch, I'm guessing, tomorrow. They're not playing tonight, so it should be his turn to pitch again tomorrow. So we'll have to see how that works out. But yeah, he's been, you know, much better than, you know, what he was in the spring. I mean, he's, you know, their leading average hitter. Obviously, you know, some guys have a few more at bats because he's only been a batter in 3 games, while a lot of the guys have played 7. But you know, he's tied for the team lead in home runs and RBIs in limited action. So there you go.
Well, you know, and I'm going to throw this out at you, and I know this is way too early. But do you think combined, maybe he can give his teammate a run for the MVP candidate or vote?
No, because I'm sure they're going to give him Rookie of the Year. You know, I don't think they'll stray too far from that. You know, they'll just, you know, all the awards will go to the Angels this year. You know, they'll just hand Trout the, you know, the MVP, which they've basically already done this year. And then they will, you know, they'll give Ohtani the, the Rookie of the Year award. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
You know, here's something that might surprise you, is that it looks like however the Angels are going to do it, Ohtani is only going to pitch on Sundays.
Oh, is that what their plan is now?
I'm trying to pull that up right now, but he's not scheduled to start until Sunday.
Yeah, well, you know, they had talked about that with going to the 6-man rotation, but I thought maybe they were going to have to go away from that, because didn't Andrew Heaney already end up on the DL? You know, a week in or whatever, and he's, you know, he already ended up on the DL, so I thought maybe they would make that move or adjustment. But then again, maybe, yeah, they might just, you know, maybe they'll go that route and try to protect him, because, you know, he is just 23 and they don't want him throwing a boatload of innings.
Well, I think with the fact that they're incorporating him into the DH role, that could be part of it. But they have Bridwell, which I know you know so much about. Parker,
yes.
Bridwell. He's 26 years old. You know, he was 10-3 for his career, which was basically last year. I'm surprised I didn't talk about this guy last year. He pitched 121 innings.
Because I had him.
Did he? Oh, that's why I couldn't find him. Yeah, you know, he seems like a pretty solid starter. So he's got Friday night. And then Saturday night, we have a young kid by the name of J.C. Ramirez. Well, I guess he's, well, he's not over 30 yet, so we can still call him young, right? But
yeah.
he, you know, he doesn't have that great of career numbers, pretty much across the entire board. He did strike out 105 guys last year, but he also had a 4.15 ERA, which I guess isn't horrible in the American League. So I'm just trying to run through. So we'll see, Ohtani on Sunday again, and I believe he gets the Mondays off, and then rolls back into it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for DHing. So it'll be
Yeah, and
interesting
it was my.
when the days
No, go ahead and
change.
finish.
Obviously,
Yeah,
it'll be
it was
interesting
my. So yeah,
when the
my
days change
mistake
up.
there. Andrew Heaney started the year on the DL. It was Matt Shoemaker who got hurt and went on the DL, and that's why they called up Parker Bridwell. He's taking Shoemaker's spot in the rotation. So that was my mistake there. I for some reason I thought Heaney was already there and already hurt, but he's just carrying over an injury from some other time. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how how that works out. If they're just gonna kind of jump around, and when the games start getting strung together in a row, if it makes any kind of difference.
Yeah, and I did a little search on Bing, and I couldn't find anything that said their plan is to only start him on Sundays.
Yeah, well, if he's not, he's due up in their rotation, so if he's not scheduled for tomorrow, you could be right if they've got their guys, set and ready to go for Friday and Saturday. Maybe he'll be the Sunday guy. Let me see if I can if there's anything that
Well, no,
projects.
they have him set for Sunday to pitch.
Yeah. So that's probably the deal then. He's just gonna be the Sunday starter, so that'll give him how many starts for the year? 20 something.
Mean, what do you? I mean, it's 6 months of baseball.
Yeah, so 20 something.
I don't know. Yeah,
He'll
20
get
something.
20 starts or whatever, depending on how other things go, or barring injury and all that other fun stuff. So there you go. I guess we'll have to follow up and make sure that he's always starting on Sundays and see how it goes. But I guess it would make your fantasy lineup easier to juggle. You know when he's going to pitch, and you don't have any problems with it. But yeah,
Now,
I'm also upset with not drafting him yet because it's just too early. So.
yeah, you're mad because you don't have him and Trout. Your two favorite guys.
Yeah. Well, Trout, I mean, you're not going to get Trout unless you got the first pick in the draft. I mean, there's just
Yeah.
no way around it. So, and I rarely, if ever, get the first pick in the draft. So,
Do you think that happens because there's like a commissioner's clause?
what, that he's got to go, that they can't be the first pick? No, I got the first pick. How many years ago was that now? I don't know. It was quite a while. 4 or 5 years ago, I think I got the first pick. So.
Yeah, I mean, because I got it when I tanked the basketball season that 1 year. But
Yeah, I just, oddly, I seem to get higher opportunities in the auction league, but basically all that's the nominate guys. So, it's not like you're actually drafting. I mean, technically, I guess this year I didn't do badly in the snake league. I think I was sixth or seventh. Which is humorous because it's just not a position I really like. Just too close to the middle for me. In a 20-team league, if it would have been a smaller league, it wouldn't have bothered me as much. But no.
yeah, I mean, in a 12-team league, you could have, if you're the 12th pick, you almost guaranteed Chris Bryant and Chris Sale. At
Yeah.
least
Oh
that's what
yeah.
my
You
mock
could
draft
have.
told me.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how things. Things shake out, so see. Now, did you get to listen to any of the White Sox games since your favorite broadcaster was doing it with Steve Stone?
Oh, hell no. I was watching them last night in Toronto, actually, which was a nice break. But I actually thought that they were opening later in the day, as they, you know, we discussed before that they always do night games. So when you mentioned that they were in the seventh or whatever inning they were in earlier, they're in the seventh now. I was a little surprised that the game was going on. I mean, as my train passed by the stadium, there was nobody there. But,
yeah,
I
think the announced crowd was about 34,000. But obviously with the weather, with the weather the way it is, it's, who the hell's going to want to go? Yeah.
There's no way there were 34,000 people there. Maybe.
Well, there may have been the start of the game. Yeah, there may have been the start of the game being that it was opening day, but, it did snow, and I'm sure, people were just kind of like, yeah, okay, let's get the hell out of here. So.
Yeah, I mean, the upper deck was pretty empty, right? About 15 minutes
ago. Yeah. I just thought that was humorous. But here you go, Dan. The saga of Trace Thompson continues. He started the year with the Dodgers, but there was just kind of no room for him. He was out of minor league options, so they put him on waivers. The Yankees claimed him because, they were having some outfield issues. But apparently his stay with the Yankees will not be too long, as on Thursday, the A's claimed him. So I'm guessing the Yankees put him on waivers as well, maybe trying to get him to AAA. So he went from Los Angeles to New York, now to Oakland. Luckily, as the article here says, he's got a place to stay in Oakland because he's going to live with his brother Clay, who, as we know, plays for the Warriors. So I thought that was kind of humorous. But, yeah, talk about a – the guy's made a cross-country trip. So we'll have to see if he stays in Oakland now.
Yep. They're playing a little better than I've expected, but I think it's early in the season. So, we've got to let the season play out. There's 115 more games left to go, roughly. But he might have, as long as Marcus Semien, he's an outfielder. I forgot who's in their outfield, but. He might get some playing time in Oakland. And if not, he can, after the game's over, go watch his brother play. Literally a walk across the parking lot.
That could work out nicely for him. No. Yeah, I was trying to think or remember who I saw there. Somebody was all excited about the Braves, if the Braves were for real. And I was like, wait, aren't we just like six games into the season or something? What do you mean? Are they for real? They played six games. They're off to a 4-2 start. Is that something to get excited about, Dan? I was a little lost there.
Well, if the season were to be end today.
Yeah. That's what I was waiting for that. They would get a wild card. Season ended. Hey, look, they would get a wild card spot or, something like that. But yeah, I was just kind of like, okay. Again, I was wondering if maybe it was just one of those things where, somebody here you go. I found it. Too early to believe in the Braves, Dan? Maybe not. Is the article here after six full games. Your name's not in the article like that. I just added you to the title because I like it. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous. I'm looking to see if he has any reason here on what he's got. Here you go. They led baseball in runs scored and were second in on-base percentage and slugging percentage.
That's why.
Yeah, after six games, that's part of the reasoning he has here. Let's see what else. What else he's if he's got any other here. They've taken advantage of mistakes, Dan. When opponents offer extra outs or otherwise. So. And then the role players are filling their roles. And I know Ryan Flaherty got off to a massively hot start. I've got him filling in that Mickey Mouse League we're in at second base for me right now while Ian Kinsler's on the DL. I figured I might as well grab the hot guy and go with him until he cools off. So, I don't know, Dan. There you go. Are you buying the Braves already after six games? You want to go in and reshuffle your predictions and get them in the playoffs as a wild card team?
Yeah, well, you know, they're just taking it one day at a time. You know, one inning at a time. What are some of the other baseball cliches?
One at bat at a time. You know, they're giving it 100%.
Yeah, there you go. No, 110%.
Yeah, you know, one of those fun things. But yeah, it was just kind of, you know, kind of curious because if at 4-2, you know, the Braves are for real. I mean, you know, who does that mean? Like, who else is for real or not for real? I mean, the Angels are 5-2. We were talking about them a little earlier. Does that make them for real? Or, you know, the White Sox, if they hang on to win today, are going to be 4-2. You might have the Angels in the playoffs. I didn't put them in the playoffs, but I don't think either one of us are buying the White Sox. I think we both had them in fourth place in their division. You know, are we, how come we're not buying the White Sox and we're buying the Braves? Well, that's kind of hurtful. Why are you chuckling at the White Sox?
Well, the Braves went up against the Nationals. That's why.
Yeah, but they do mention that, the fact that the Braves paired up against the Nationals in the article. So I was just kind of like, okay, we're just, you know, here we go. But, yeah, they got the big win yesterday over Washington. You know, Washington themselves, a little stumble out of the gate. You know, they're 4-3. I don't think we're going to panic just yet. You know, the Cubs are 2-3, Dan. Are you panicking?
No.
Oh, okay.
They do need to hit, though. You know, ESPN.
You know, you got to wonder maybe getting in a dome in Milwaukee they'll hit, do you think?
They should. I mean, the dome will be closed. I don't know what the weather was like up there, but they should have a good time up there.
It's 44 degrees up there today. So. So yeah, definitely a closed roof situation there. So we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, I kind of saw that and I was kind of like, wait, that's one of those things that always baffles me because it's like, wait, we're 6 or 7 games in here. Why are we, you know, why are we talking about this? But yeah, I don't know. You're supposed to be able to explain this thing to me, Dan.
Well, the Blue Jays are for real too, because Josh Donaldson hit 5 home runs in 5 games.
Yes. So, but on a more serious note here, Dan, and this actually affects one of my fantasy teams. Adam Eaton had to leave the Nationals game after having some discomfort in his left ankle. What they described it as is scar tissue dislodged on an awkward slide into third base and began causing him the discomfort. The x-rays came up negative, and Dave Roberts doesn't expect Eaton to go on the DL, not even the 10-day DL. But it's definitely something that, you know, we're going to have to keep our eye on because, you know, Eaton was off to a fantastic start after missing basically all of last injury. Yeah, he was 2-for-2, I think, before he came out of the game. And, you know, it was just kind of a weird situation. You know, there was no real, you know, injury or anything. It was just the slide that did it. So hopefully, yeah, he's not going to not going to end up on the DL, or this is going to be any type of, you know, further situation for him, because I know he was I just remember him going 5 for 5 earlier to start, you know, one of the early games in the season. So, you know, I want to see what he ends up doing. Yeah, he was hitting .429 for them, Danny. He actually has a couple home runs and 5 RBIs. But 2 doubles, he scored 8 runs in 5 games for them. So a little, you know, I guess you could say he's kind of their spark plug at the top of the order.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but if I'm – correct me if I'm wrong, but you should have seen his really awkward dive into home plate today.
Yeah.
It wasn't a slide. He bounced. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Now, since you got to see a little bit of that game, did you catch the Trey Turner ejection? Because I heard
no.
I kind of got bits and pieces of them talking about it, and I guess it was on a called third.
I stepped away, but I came right back to it, so I didn't actually see the call, but I do know it was on a third strike. And I mean, you know, I came right back to it when they were going to commercial. So all I see, you know, that's how they let out, they let into the commercial break, was by, you know, replaying the slow motion of him getting thrown out. So, but I mean, I can't say if that umpire was that great with his calls today or not.
Yeah, because that's what I was kind of wondering, if or how things would be, you know, would, you know, you know, since we're on the national, did you see the, you know, you see the thing they signed Mike Rizzo? Their, what is he? Their, I know he's their general manager. Yeah, he's got another title. It might be president of baseball operations or whatever. I know they kind of add those things in as well. He picked up an extension to his deal for a couple years. You like the signing there for them? You like them keeping him around? I mean, it seems like he's done a pretty solid job building that team, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was something. I think Davey Martinez is the coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, he mentioned that he was happy to see that happen because, you know, that kind of helps keep his position for now. And the one thing I heard them talking about, which I never knew this would play a factor into it, but I guess one of the things that actually hurt him in negotiations was the fact that he purchased a house in, you know, in the area. I forgot what they called the area he moved to, but I guess that was one of the things that was a drawback, not so much a drawback, but I guess hurt his negotiation for his contract, because, you know, purchasing a house means you're pretty much staying. So kind of like, you know, when LeBron's agent moved up to Cleveland or wherever he moved to in Ohio, and everyone was like, oh, hey, what's going on now? So I thought that was pretty funny. But, I think he's really trying to work hard, and, of course, you know, the consensus from the major players on the team was they were happy to see him get the extension, but you've got to wonder what that does for this offseason with Bryce Harper. Cause I mean, that's what everyone really wants to know about, even though they didn't talk about it on their broadcast, but you know, because I mean, let's be honest, it's the season and it's not something that's really going to be worth talking about throughout the season, because we all know it's inevitable. It's just a matter of now with him being locked up, I think, you know, the talks between Bryce's agent and the team will probably start closer to, well, they should start now, because I think really you need to know, you really need to know before All-Star break or the trade deadline.
Yeah, well, you got to wonder. I mean, you think they're talking now, right? You hope? Mm-hmm. So
I would think so.
Yeah
especially,
you know,
if
I mean,
you're a
again,
Nats
you know,
fan. You're hoping,
yeah. You know, there are players that don't want their contracts discussed during the season. I've always found that kind of weird, but not like they're doing the negotiating. You know, they have people that actually do that for them. But, you know, we've heard it before where they say, well, you know, I don't want to talk about it during the season, blah, blah, blah. I haven't heard that out of Harper, so we'll have to see. But, yeah, obviously, you know, that maybe that's part of the reason they gave him the extension. They think he could get Harper to re-sign?
I would think so. I mean, this is his job. And, you know, he actually came out and said that, you know, one of the things that he found most interesting was that he feels that he does a great job at negotiating for the team and for players. But when it came down to negotiating his own contract, he wasn't that good at it. So, but, you know, I guess that's the nature of the game, right? You don't want to oversell yourself, but, you know, but I think he's doing a solid job. They need to get that win. They need to show that they are the team that we've been expecting for how long now? I mean, you know, their first real run into the playoffs, was that 13 when they shut down Strasburg? So there was no run into the playoffs. And then 14, they were, you know, quickly eliminated by the Giants. And, you know, 15, obviously, it didn't work for them when the Royals won. And then, you know, obviously 16 was the Cubs and last year was the Astros. So, you know, we've been waiting for this team and you've got to wonder if this will be the year. Approximately
the fifth
year.
I guess to kind of follow up and see what you think about that, do they need, you know, I mean, they've been getting into the playoffs regularly, but if they win just one series, is that good enough or does this team need to make a trip to the World Series?
They need to make the trip to the World Series. You know, I mean, if the season were to end today, of course, it would be the Cubs, the Nationals, and the Braves.
Yeah.
You know, just those three teams. But no, I mean, in all likelihood, in the perfect world for the Nationals, you know, this division series would be, or no, division's the first one. What do we call the second one? I guess I'm losing it now. Championship, because it's not conference, because I'm getting ready for basketball,
right?
Hockey. So the championship series, you know, yeah, the NLCS, you know, in the NLCS, it's in a perfect world for the Nats. It would be the Cubs versus them and them taking out the Cubs because, you know, you want to prove that you're the best. And I mean, let's face it, they may not look like it right now, but they are one of the best teams, especially when it comes into the National League. So, you know, for the Nationals, they want to go to that NLCS against the Cubs, and they need to beat the Cubs to go to the World Series.
So, yeah, that, you know, that's always been kind of the, you know, the playoffs has always been kind of the stumbling block with them. You know, they get there and they look good, and, you know, there are a lot of people's picks. And, you know, I think a couple of years ago I was on their bandwagon as winning a World Series, and, you know, it didn't happen. And I believe, you know, some of Stu and yourself and Mr. Fantasy have picked them to get there as well. And it just hasn't, you know, just hasn't worked at all. So you gotta wonder, and, you know, that maybe that's the change. You know, Davey Martinez gets them to the World Series that Dusty Baker couldn't.
Yeah, well, and I don't I love that. And I don't put all the blame on Dusty, except for some of the lineups that he put together, you know, I mean, you called him out on it big time. And I think he did change it on the last day, but you know, in a situation like that, I think the downside for Dusty is I don't think he was really open to continue, you know, trying to move things. You know, when you hear Joe Maddon say, well, we're just going to intentionally walk Bryce Harper all weekend. You know, you don't switch the lineup around until the last day. It didn't make any sense. You know, and while it was great for me as a Cubs fan, but for me as the guy who just absolutely loves the game of baseball, you know, and then not only watching it and wondering why the hell he isn't doing anything about it, but then sitting there watching it and in the back of my head hearing you talk about it before the season, you know, before the series even starts about what he needs to do. You know, and it's like, the hell are you doing? So I think there's some of those things that probably, I think at the end of the day, when it came down to Dusty, it's not so much of the getting along with the youth. I just think, you know, maybe it wasn't working out with that team and they were just kind of over it. And it's, you know, it's hard to keep these guys in line if they're really not going to continue to follow the leadership of the manager.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes you do just, you need a new voice or you need a new change like that. You know, what I always found was, you know, odd with the Dusty handle and Bryce Harper like that is how many years did he marry, you know, marry? I'm having one of those days. How many years did he manage Barry Bonds in San Francisco where he was used to this? And, you know, he knew you needed that protection behind him. You know what I mean? Not even if it was, you know, I mean, it didn't have to be the best protection in the world. You just needed a guy who could come through and, you know, provide that big hit here and there. So, you know, you don't get those odd situations where, you know, like, I know, I don't think it happened to Harper, but, you know, like Bonds would be walked with the bases loaded. Well, you know, in those kind of situations, teams have to pay. I mean, if you've got a guy on, you know, first and second and they walk Harper to load the bases, that guy following him needs to make them pay the price for, you know, for walking. And I get it. You know, guys can't come through every time. It just, you know, it doesn't happen that way. But, you know, the, you know, situation today in the Red Sox game, you know, when they won it, they had guys on second and third and the Tampa Bay pitcher walked the guy to load him up. Now, it wasn't intentional, but maybe it kind of was because he didn't throw too close to the strike zone after the runner got the second. So then Hanley Ramirez came up and won the game. He made them pay for it. You know, these are the situations you need through the season. And I mean, you know, at the time, you know, Daniel Murphy was there. You know, you could have plugged Jason Worthen behind him, Ryan Zimmerman. You know, there were a lot of guys to plug in behind Harper at that point in time. And for whatever reason, Dusty just couldn't figure it out. You know, and it was kind of baffling for, you know, a veteran manager to really, you know, I want to say seem lost like that. He was just kind of lost in the crowd. But, you know, in the end, you wonder how much of that cost him his job. I know they went with they wanted somebody who could relate to young people. And, you know, we'll see if Martinez in the end gets it done. So, but all right. You know, I know, one of the trendy picks this year to really improve, and I saw a couple guys put them in as a wild card team, was the Phillies. Now, you know, they've gotten off to a terrible start. They're 1-4 or 1-5 or something like that. But possibly good news on the horizon here. Jake Arrieta threw 86 pitches Monday in Clearwater, Florida. Then he threw 35 in a side session before the Phillies home opener on Thursday. And he is on track to make his debut Sunday. The Phillies are playing the Miami Marlins, and Arrieta will be the starter. He has went on record in saying that he thinks he can get to 100 pitches if they need him to go that long. So, yeah, we'll get the excitement of seeing Jake Arrieta get his first start. And maybe he can get something rolling. Now, you know, Kapler, you know, Gabe Kapler's had a little bit of a quick hook, and the Philly fans are starting to let him hear about it now. You know, Aaron Nola only went 68 pitches deep in his opening day outing before he got the hook. Arrieta's a little more of a veteran. I think maybe he'll give him a little slack to get him to that 100-pitch mark. But I don't know, Dan, what do you see in Arrieta's first start against the Marlins? You get 5 innings out of him with those 100 pitches?
Yeah, well, I mean, his what do we call it, kryptonite or whatever, is that fourth inning.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he can get through that fourth inning without giving up 3 runs, 4 runs, he'll be golden. But, you know, you're not making any noise about it like normal. But, I mean, it's still sad to, in this day and age with the way the game is held, that he's boasting about how he thinks he can go 100 pitches.
Yes.
You know, and that you're the number one. You shouldn't even say, oh, I can go 100 pitches. I would sit there and, especially for the confidence that Jake Arrieta supposedly has, I would have been in a press booth or press conference going, well, I think I could throw a complete game. Even though we know that's all far-fetched because he doesn't go past the sixth inning, but...
You know, on the plus side, though, it's nice to hear them be honest for a change. You know, because obviously, you know, he's way behind, obviously. You know, he got signed so late. You know, I mean, he just had a quick spring training. And I don't, did he even throw in a spring training game?
No, because we would have heard about it. I could be wrong, but I don't think he threw.
So yeah, you know, like I said, at least, you know, on the plus side, he was honest. I don't know in the end if it, you know, if it's not, but I mean, we'll, you know, we'll see what, you know, what he can do. I mean, I think if he can give him five innings, it's gotta be a bit of a success for him, you know, as his first start, but we'll, you know, we'll have to wait and see what he can come up with, but I'll definitely be interested to check that out and see how he does. Are you going to, you'll take a look at that start on Sunday?
Oh yeah. I mean, it definitely depends on how it coincides with Shohei.
Yes. So, you know, you'll have to match those games up. Maybe you'll have to, you know, pump them on, you know, one on one and one on the other. So you can keep track of both.
Well, you know, I'll have one on the TV, one on my iPad 2, one on my iPad mini. Maybe I'll make sure to download the MLB app on my wife's iPad. You know,
will she let you do that?
But I would. Yeah, she doesn't use it. You know, maybe I'll download the app on my daughter's Kindle. I don't know how long that would last, though. Yeah. I didn't buy it, so you can't make any comments. Her auntie bought her a kid's Kindle. For a kid who was not even two for Christmas. That's a whole other topic. But, you know, I mean, we'll see what the games are going. I do think the Arrieta start is very interesting. It's a combination, you know, for the holdout and then for the fact that, you know, he obviously didn't do any spring training. So we'll see what a guy of his caliber who, no offense, I mean, this is their livelihood. This is what they do. If this were 30 years ago, 20 years ago, even if you held out that long, I think the guy would have been ready to go week one. I don't think he would have needed extended spring training.
Yeah, well, you wonder if that was more by the team's choice. You know how they are with pitchers now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, either way, I still think 20, 30 years ago, that would have never happened.
But yeah, you know, well, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, I mean, this is kind of, you know, what he wanted. You know, he's somewhere now where he is the focal point of the pitching staff, you know, and I mean, he's paid like a number one. So we'll see if he can produce as a number one.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the next two coming up, you've got to really watch for will be the Alex Cobb with Baltimore. Right? He did sign with Baltimore, right? You would correct me if I was wrong. And then, you know, when does Greg Holland come out? Greg Holland, when does he, you know, join the Cardinals?
Yeah, well, I know I'm trying to remember which one of our friends that we had on a long time ago from out that way. They reported that Cobb wouldn't make his debut until mid-May.
Wow.
So we're still looking at, you know, 6 weeks or maybe 4 weeks. Maybe it's a little earlier May. So, yeah, that's interesting. I got a feeling we'll see him before that. But yeah, you know, Holland just reported this week, but you got to figure with a closer, you know, as long as he's in shape, it can't take him too long, can it? I mean, you figure maybe 2-3 weeks at the most to make sure he's in tune and ready to go, right?
Yeah, I would think with that, you know, the one thing that, it's not so much, you know, I know the player, but you mentioned the team really deciding this because they've, you know, got to have all their people look at him. When it comes to Alex Cobb, whether you keep him down in, you know, send him to Florida or, you know, whatever training facility you have him at, how does, you know, the pitching coach that's with the team really get to work with him? You know, that's kind of my, you know, wonderment is how does that all fit in? You know, because obviously the pitching coach was working with all these pitchers through spring training in Florida down there, and I believe the Cardinals are down there too. So how do you incorporate that part of it?
Yeah, because basically now, I mean, at this point, I mean, the minor leagues are getting ready to kick off. He's really just left with, you know, the rookie league instructors, I believe. You know, and I'm sure, you know, obviously all teams are under the same system. You know, everything is run the same way. But yeah,
Yeah.
it would be interesting to know if maybe the Orioles pitching coach makes a trip down there on an off day to work with him, or you know, maybe if they happen to be in the area, playing in the area, he could get down there to take a look at him. You know, or like the Phillies, you know, Arrieta came to Philadelphia to throw on the side. You know, I don't know if maybe they would do something like that.
I mean, you know, and that makes sense. You know, okay, we're the team. We don't have him ready, but you know, we got him with us, and he's going to throw sessions. And okay, I get that. And you know, with Arrieta, I don't think it was such a bad thing to hold out just an extra week. Even though I think, I mean, let's be honest, we all seen the naked ESPN cover. We've been able to watch him here for the last couple of years. The guy's in great shape. So you know, I don't. Obviously, the team didn't get to look at him and work with him. So, but I, you know, I just wonder, like, what is necessary? What is part of the process that makes it take so long?
What is the process? Oh, sorry, wrong sport.
Yeah.
So,
No, you're supposed to say, trust the process. Just trust it.
so, but since you know, since we did kind of inadvertently bring up the NBA, I'm sure you were probably quite sad to see that Dirk Nowitzki is having ankle surgery, and he will be done for the rest of the year because he was your guy. So. But more importantly, and I'm interested to know how you think this kind of affects the playoffs, they're reporting that Kyrie Irving, after having that minor knee procedure, will now miss the entire playoffs. Dan, what does that do to Boston's chances of possibly unseating Cleveland? And I mean, A, I guess, do they have a chance now? And B, how easy is the road for Cleveland without Kyrie in Boston?
I mean, I just think they should fast forward. Just let it go.
Just skip the Eastern Conference playoffs and jump right to
Yeah.
the final. So.
Yeah. Just skip it. I mean, of course, I'd still like to see Washington giving them a run for their money, but I mean, let's be honest, I don't think they have what it takes, even though they played pretty well without John Wall.
Yeah, they really did, surprisingly. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, this is a, you know, a killer for Boston. Their year started out with them losing Gordon Hayward, who was the top
Yep.
free agent on the market. And then, you know, it was, I think it was about the start of March when we started hearing about Kyrie's knee issues. And then late in the month, they decided, okay, well, we're going to go have it taken care of. And, you know, he was supposed to be back. You know, I think the initial time frame was like they were talking a month or so, and he would be returning. And it went from coming back to the playoffs to now, see you next year.
Yeah, well, you know, and you can attest to this too. The some of the timelines they put on these athletes that go off to have surgery are utterly ridiculous. You know, 4 to 6 weeks, yeah, he could be walking, but that doesn't mean he needs to be running up and down a freaking basketball court. You know, even if you limit him 12 minutes a game or, you know, and, you know, go forward from there. 4 to 6 weeks isn't that great of amount of time to get a guy back and running again. Well, I mean,
you know,
they wonder why they
continuously
have issues.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting that they kind of, you know, they're like, hey, well, he'll be back in this time frame. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. Of course, you're Derrick Rose, then you have to stretch things out a little bit because you got to be ready for the boardroom. So
yeah, got a hangnail. I'll be out for 6 months. That's the entire season. Yeah, well, that's the way we play. I'm looking for tomorrow.
I gotta be today. I got to be able to play with my kid. So, but yeah, I you know, because like even when they talk about it, you know, they were like, well, it's just a minor cleanup or whatever. And I kept trying to figure it out because I mean, like even minor knee surgery is a month, you know, a minimum 4 to 6 weeks before you get going, and then to add basketball activity to it. You know,
yeah.
You would kind of think, okay, well, it's probably going to take a little more than that. You know, I mean, he's got to get up and get running and stuff. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, and here's, you know, one of the things that we could take a look at just from our professional wrestling background. You know, when you go to the WWE, you know, these guys, when they have those minor they're gone for a while. They don't come back in that 4 to 6 week time frame. And I mean, in all honesty, when it comes to the pro wrestling, the timelines, they could probably actually, you know, work into those timelines, those short timelines, because while it is physical and you are getting your body beat up, with today's schedule, you know, you may only wrestle a match for 4 minutes every week, you know, a couple times a week. So it's not as much, it's not as horrible on the knees as it would be, say, an NBA guy who's running up and down a court, you know, for 25 minutes. It's totally different. And, you know, with the wrestlers, they don't come back in 4 to 6 weeks. These guys are out, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 months. And they come back when they know they could produce, you know, as opposed to just, well, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. That, to me, sometimes it's like 4 to 6 weeks he should be walking. You know, without crutches, without anybody's help, without, you know, one of them little freaking scooter things that they give people now. I'm sure you've seen those.
Yeah.
They're hilarious, but, you know, it's a lot easier than crutches.
I never got one. I would have loved to have gotten one of those. So.
They're hilarious, but.
You know, I should have used one of those when I was at Target today.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it makes you wonder if that's part of the reason Kawhi Leonard, you know, did what he did, even though, you know, NBA purists or, you know, super fans were pretty upset with it. You know, even my wife's nephew was a little upset with it.
Yeah, you know, that was another odd situation. I mean, we never really quite knew what was wrong with him. And I mean, you know, like they had originally said he wouldn't be out long, and he's played what, a handful of games this year?
Well, he said he's not coming back, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm done for the season.
So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I know there was a little bit of talk that he might come back for the playoffs, but I really haven't heard any major updates or anything on him. So I don't know what's going to go on. And of course there is a chance, you know, San Antonio's in that freaking Western Conference. They may not even get in the playoffs. I got to look here. Yeah. He's played 9 games this season. That's it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you just kind of,
you know, he could be looking to have a much more successful 2018, 2019 season.
Yeah, you know, at this point, you got to figure, I mean, sit out. You know, what good is it going to do you? I mean, I don't think the, you know, even if Leonard comes back, I don't think it propels the Spurs into the, you know, the title race there. So, you know, just take the rest of the year off and come back, you know, come back 100%, you know, next year, but I know, you know, how things get, then, you know, you can draw the ire of, you know, everybody. So I want to look and see what standings are that are they hanging on.
I think for Kawhi Leonard, the, you know, the added bonus is being in San Antonio, where, you know, maybe it upset the fans at first, but it's, you know, it's definitely a smaller market with kind of, you know, a big team, so to speak. But, you know, not being in the likes of, you know, I know the team with LeBron James, or, you know, the Warriors, or, you know, even the Bulls, Boston, Knicks, that situation. I think that kind of, you know, once it happened, it came out and said it, everyone had their piece. I'm sure Stephen A. Smith had a long rant on it. And then we just don't talk about it anymore because, sadly, it's San Antonio.
Yeah, they've little bit of separation from the Spurs and the rest of, you know, a little bit of the Eastern Conference here. You know, it looks like teams have about four or five games left. The Spurs are currently tied for fifth place with the Thunder. They're a half a game out of fourth, and they are, what is that, a game and a half out of ninth. So they've given themselves a little bit of leeway there, you know. They have dropped their last two, though. So they're going to have to turn that around. And does it say here, it doesn't look like they play again until Saturday. And they are playing they're playing Portland, who is in third place in the Western Conference. So it's gonna be a tough game. You know, they're gonna have to figure out. I mean, it didn't help that yesterday they lost to the Lakers in overtime. You don't need to be losing games to teams like the Lakers. So, but let me see after Portland, what do they have to kind of wrap up the season here. Maybe they have a little bit of easier schedule. Yeah, Saturday they're home against Portland, then Sacramento comes to town. So they should be okay there. And then it looks like they're going to New Orleans. Is that it? They only got three games left. So
yeah, the Bulls have Saturday, then they have, I think they have one game in between, and then they're wrapping up on Wednesday next week. Well, next week, Wednesday, is the last home game of the year.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess, yeah, some teams have four games, some teams have five games. Maybe the Spurs only have three.
That's kind of funny, though, that in the West, you could be, like, almost top seed team, but if you lose three games in a row, you're not in the playoffs anymore. That's pretty amazing.
So yeah, it's definitely a kind of a goofy thing there, but you know, and just, you know, since we don't so that Jordan Spieth is leading the Masters after one round. So I hope you bet on him. All right, it's me, that Dan and I are going to stop, but hopefully if my internet cooperates, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget about the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you'd like to hunt us down. That would be cool. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.